Okay, in accordance with state law regarding public, someone saying something? In accordance with state law regarding public meetings held via electronic equipment, this meeting will be recorded and the recording will be posted on the authority's website. When we do the roll call of board members, please state their when board members are speaking, please state your name and title if applicable. Votes will be taken by roll call unless the vote is unanimous. And in the event the meeting is interrupted due to technical difficulties, members and staff will receive a text or email advising whether number one, the meeting is adjourned or canceled, or number two, the time the meeting will resume. With that, I'd like to start with our roll call. I'm Peter Lisi. I'm present. Bettina Bronize. I see Bettina,
Here.
but
Yeah.
there
Sorry, I
you
was
go.
on mute.
All right.
Here.
Marty Budd.
Here.
Thank you. Andrew Foster.
Present.
Thank you. Michael Azzotti.
I'm here.
Thank you. Carrie Kelly. Carrie on? No. Julie Savino.
Present.
Thank you. Was that Carrie that just joined us? I guess not. Julie Savino said present. Laura Baker. Kelly Marie Valliers. Jeanette Weldon.
Present.
Thank you, Jeanette. And again, Carrie Kelly. Is Carrie on? No. Kelly Marie Valliers or Laura Baker? Not present. Okay. All right. Roll call is completed. We have a quorum. First item of business is our review and hopefully approval of the minutes from our November 14th meeting, 2023. And I'm hoping people have taken a minute to review them. Is there a motion to accept the minutes as presented?
So moved.
Anyone? Thank you, Michael. Is there a second?
Bettina, I'll second.
Thank you. Motion's been made and seconded to adopt the minutes as presented from our November 14th meeting. I'd open it up to any discussion on the minutes, any comments, questions, any edits that need to be made, any changes, clarifications.
There was a question on page 16 that I raised about the internet and telephone, where the budget was 6,000, we only spent 2,000. And Carly said she would look into that. So perhaps this is an appropriate time for her to report on why we didn't spend very much money in that quarter.
Carly, would you like to answer that?
Sure, thank you. The budget for telephone and internet, we have an additional 80,000 that we have within that budget. So in the first quarter, I don't have 80,000 spread in, you know, placed in there, but that eight extra additional 80,000 was for the website development. So you'll see throughout the remaining quarters an additional amount of in the budget. But then once we actually are paying for, need to make a payment for the that budget item, I'll have it put in within that budget quarter. I don't know if that is.
So the $6,000 in the budget you think will be spent?
That was just how I had spread out some of the items, because I didn't want one quarter to have a huge amount if it wasn't spent. I wasn't quite sure when we were going to be needing to make additional payments on that 80,000. So that's why it might be higher in the first quarter than what we actually spent on telephone.
All right. So the budget number is for the whole year. Is that correct? Just $6,000?
No, that would just be for that quarter. However, the budget for telephone and internet is about 85,000 for the entire fiscal year.
I see. So you didn't put that much into the quarter we're talking about.
Right, not too much because I know we're going to spend the majority of it once we make one or two payments on the new website
Website.
development.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
No more questions on the minutes from me.
Okay. Anyone else? Questions,
Peter,
comments? Yes.
this is Denise. If I could just inform the board that there were no comments received in connection with the amendment to the Alliance Teacher Refi Loan Program. The board wanted to receive confirmation that there were no comments received from the public.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else? All right. With those clarifications, the motion's been made and seconded to adopt the minutes from November 14th. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Motion carries unanimously. Minutes are adopted. Okay, our item of business, or one of the items of business, the resolution regarding the amendments to the scholarship program manual. Josh, are you going to walk us through that, or Denise?
I'll take it away, Peter.
All right.
Chesil is recommending changes to the scholarship program manual. Chesil has historically utilized the federal Pell Grant eligible expected family contribution rounded up to determine need for the scholarship program. With the new FAFSA, EFC is no longer an indexed number, and the EFC has been replaced with what's called the Student Aid Index, also known as the SAI. However, it's not simply a renaming of the index number. Students can now be eligible for a Pell Grant in other ways outside of their Student Aid Index, such as specific percentages above the federal poverty level. So in order to capture all the Pell Grant eligible applicants, Chesil is recommending the changes on pages 19 and 20, which remove the reference to EFC and simply state that scholarship applicants must be Pell Grant eligible to be eligible for the Chesil scholarship program. And then with those changes, Chesil is seeking approval of the resolution on page 15.
All moved.
All right. Motion has been made. Is there a second?
Second. Mary Kelly.
Thank you, Carrie. So motions have been made and seconded to adopt the resolution pertaining to the scholarship program manual. Appreciate the intro, Josh. Are there any questions for Josh? Any comments or questions, discussion items? No, hearing none. All those in favor of adopting the resolution for the scholarship program manual as presented, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Motion carries unanimously. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Josh, I believe you and Yesenia are going to talk to us about the scholarship allocation program manual.
Yeah, Yesenia will take it away. I'll chime in as needed.
Okay. Yesenia, over to you.
There we go. Can you hear me? Hi, everyone. Happy New Year. So I'm just going to go over our memo for our fifth year. Just a review. So the fifth year of the need-based scholarship program was a really good, great success. So for the undergraduate scholarship, Chesla was able to award 168 students out of the 207 that qualified, and total dispersing of $486,000. And the January 26th meeting, the Chesil board approved $35,000 for our certificate scholarship, which was $5,000 more than previously. The certificate scholarship program has also been very successful. So far we have dispersed 19 scholarships totaling $23,750. And the scholarship period closed on December 13th. Because we have 9 students in the pipeline that are waiting to be dispersed after verifying their enrollment for the spring semester. And so I, in our last meeting, we did have a board member request a breakdown of the dispersed scholarships. So if, Kara, if you could go to page 25.
Yes, thank you. This is very interesting and helpful.
Yeah, of course. So far, like I mentioned, $23,000 have been dispersed so far. You can see here the majority have been dispersed to Three Rivers, the community college of $17,500. And then we have one for Goodwin, two for Sacred Heart, and then two for Middlesex. So far.
Could you always include this? I think this is very helpful. And I'm wondering why only Three Rivers has really jumped on this program. To me, this is a very important program. Can you explain why Three Rivers has gotten so many certificate scholarships and other community colleges haven't really stepped up?
Yeah, that's a good good observation. So I've noticed, from doing this for 3 years now, each year, I've noticed that a different school kind of takes the majority of the scholarships. I remember the first year, Housatonic pushed the most for these scholarships. This year, Three Rivers got a lot of their scholarships because they let me know that they needed more enrollment for their certificate scholarships, certificate programs. So the more scholarships they receive, the more students would enroll in their program. So I believe that they really pushed students to apply for our scholarship. That way they can have more enrollment.
Three Rivers is in Eastern Connecticut. Is that correct?
Correct.
I believe so, yeah.
I'm similarly wondering why there seems to be such a disproportionate take rate from certain institutions. But I find this very interesting. Do you think this speaks to the fact that there should be more resources for certificates in the future, or have we really saturated the market? You said there's nine that are in the pipeline right now.
So I think I'll jump in here. I have a couple thoughts. I mean, I think number one, regarding the breakdown of where these certificate students are going. We market the certificate scholarships to every school throughout the state. Now, if some of these schools then take a larger ownership of marketing this program to their students, then you're going to have some of the distribution as we see here. Your thoughts regarding potentially increasing the certificate scholarships moving forward is a great point, and we touch on that, I believe, later in the memo when we seek our allocation for the upcoming year.
I have to mention my favorite certificate is brewing science. I know I once walked into the state capitol with the lobbyist for our local beer brewers, and appears as though that's a rather big industry in Connecticut. I even suggested to the governor at that time, when he makes his bet against Kentucky about basketball, he not provide what he has been providing, but provide local beer. So it's interesting that doing science is an important part of our commercial activities.
Marty, this is Julie. In fact, we have that brewing science degree, the certificate program, and are very active in it across the state. It is a big and very popular one, and is supported by all of the brewing groups within the state, within their guild and everything else. It is a big business, and it's a big part of the workforce and a growing part of our workforce.
Well, it certainly sounds like it would be appropriate for a site visit by the CHESL board members to sample the graduates' products.
Oh, yeah.
Josh, I want, and maybe Yesenia will get to this, but I do have a question. I mean, someone raised the issue of the funding for next year. And if I'm looking at the memo correctly, last year we allocated $35,000, but we only spent $23,750. But this year we're coming back to the board for an increase to $45,000. So, if I'm reading the memo correctly, we only used up $23,750 last year, right?
Yes. So just to clarify there, the $23,750 is what we've actually dispersed out the door as of this date. We will be dispersing the entire $35,000. We shut down the application because we already had enough applications in the pipeline that are then waiting for the students to enroll. Once those students enroll, we'll have more certificate scholarships going out the door. But there was no need to continue to take in new applications when we already have enough applicants in the pipeline to fulfill the entire $35,000.
So the $35,000 has been, so to speak, earmarked. It just hasn't gone out the door. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So we have 9 students that will be attending programs this spring. And as you know, the spring semester starts in a few weeks. So they're just now enrolling into those programs. Usually they apply for their scholarship first, make sure they receive the scholarship, right, and then they, enroll. I'll be dispersing those within the next few weeks, and then the $35,000 will be fully dispersed. And then that's why we are looking to increase it. Go ahead.
Those are the 9 students that you referred to in the second paragraph of the memo. And those 9 students will make up the difference between the $23,750 and the $35,000, correct?
Correct.
Okay, good. I'm good. Thank you.
I have a quick question. Josh, you mentioned that you had cut off the applications because you felt that you had kind of reached capacity. Do you have any sense, this is kind of an abstract question, do you have any sense of the number of applications you would have received if it were not capped? Like what the overall demand is for the program for certificates?
I actually have those numbers.
Thank you, Yesenia.
Yeah, so when we closed down the application, we had 6 that were ready to be evaluated, meaning they submitted it and we received their letter of recommendation. And if we had the additional funds, I could have went forward, but we didn't. And then when I look at the submitted applications, that their application wasn't fully done because they didn't have their letter of recommendation yet, that was 34 applications that submitted. So if those students also came in with their letter of recommendation and, they had a complete application, then we would have had over 40 applications. So it's definitely a big number, and I don't think we'll ever be able to award that many students, at least for a certificate, but increasing it to 45 will give at least 8 more students a chance to receive the scholarship.
Maybe we should be rethinking this, because to me, this means people getting jobs in Connecticut from people who probably can really use job training. Maybe at some time management might consider whether we spend more money on this total scholarship or take some from the BA scholarships and move it into certificates. Ask management to come back with recommendations in this regard, because to me, this is a very important program and it seems to be quite successful.
Marty, I agree. I just think it's a fine line, right? We're working with a set amount of scholarships on an annual basis. So if you increase certificate, basically you're taking away scholarships from undergrads. So it's basically a balancing act with the annual dollars that we have.
Well, maybe we should be thinking about how we might get additional dollars.
Right, a bigger overall pool. Right.
So, as you know, the scholarship dollars are coming from CSLF. We have our financial advisor go through a cash flow analysis to assess what's a feasible number to be sent from CSLF over to Chesler for the scholarship program on an annual basis. So that's something that, you know, we regularly look at and try to assess. Is it putting CSLF at risk of not being able to pay off its bonds, et cetera? And then the other thing, we are in the midst of our strategic planning process for the upcoming 3-year period. And one of the things that, you know, Josh has highlighted is, can we come up with ways through our strategic planning process for a more sustainable approach to funding of the Chesler Scholarship Program. So it is something we're looking at. It's going to be built into the strategic plan. So it's not the sort of thing where I don't think we'll be ready to say, oh, and at the next meeting of the Chesler board, we're going to present something, but it is something that's on the radar screen to be looked at. And then, as I said, we routinely go through the cash flow analysis to see what's a prudent number for CSLF to transfer.
Maybe we can ask our financial advisor as to whether $520,000, it's hard to believe that another $10,000 or $15,000 or $20,000 would break the CSLF bank. But when we get to strategic planning, maybe our financial advisor could comment on whether we could squeeze a little bit more out of CSLF, even another $10,000 or $15,000.
Marty, that's going to cost you. Yeah, I'm sure we can take a look at that. I mean, we do run the cash flows, as Jeanette said. We've been running them pretty close to annually, and we take a look at what is expected to be withdrawn to provide those funding. So we can take a look at that.
Thank you.
That's great. Sanya, this is Andrew. I'm just curious, similar to how you track the allocations of funds to the different institutions, do you also track, just for a workforce impact, the various programs? Oh, and here it is right now. All right, perfect.
Yeah, so that's on page 26. Is answered. Okay. That was my next one. Yes, yeah, so here's a breakdown of the specific programs that are being awarded. As you can see, five of the scholarships so far have been going to billing and coding, then following dental assisting, phlebotomy, and then, you know, EKG, vet assistant, and welding. And we did mention brewing science. Those two scholarships went out to Sacred Heart. Do you guys have any questions regarding that?
This is Julie. I think it's an appropriate discussion, I think, across the board. Certificate programs now are getting a little bit more attention. In the past, they haven't had any support. So our students trying to get into these certificate programs who are getting into the workforce, you know, quickly and training them have not received any real federal support. And there's been limited loan support for these students. There is conversation on the government side to help support some of these certificate programs now with some funding. The clarity on that is still not all out there yet, but I think that they are important. We're starting to see the importance of them and how they're affecting our workforce. So I think Connecticut is ahead of the, at least Chesler is, in helping to support this for workforce industry. And I think that the strategic planning session coming up right now is a perfect opportunity for us to really look at this again to see how much more effective we can be for our state of Connecticut, you know, where our certificate programs are concerned.
Will legislative liaison be at the strategic planning session?
I'm sorry, Marty, I didn't hear your question.
Will our legislative liaison be at our strategic planning session? We can talk about the likelihood of being able to get money out of the legislature for the certificate program.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, he may be attending. I have to confirm that. But I'm not necessarily seeing the sort of fallback financial source for our certificate scholarships as being getting money out of the state. The thought, you know, because I'm assuming if the state wanted to fund certificate scholarships, they would go ahead and fund, you know, just like they fund the Roberta Willis scholarship, they would figure out a way to fund certificate scholarships that would not necessarily have to flow through CHESLA. So I think in terms of, is there room for us to increase the dollars that CHESLA can dedicate to the certificate programs in terms of, as you mentioned, Marty, maybe upping the amount coming out of CSLF. I think that's something we can, you know, definitely take a look at, and that does not involve any kind of state legislation.
But, you know, so, Jeanette, a couple of things. One, the legislature is interested in helping police people who want to be policemen and other people who are in the education system. And we, of course, have the mechanics for doing the certificate program. And I would think some of the industries that have benefited from our certificate program might be accompanying lobbyists for some kind of legislation for giving CHESLA money to expand its certificate programs in the various areas that we are currently functioning.
I mean, I think another way to look at it, I do think employers should be brought into the mix, and another, you know, source of dollars could be these employers are actually paying for the certificate program. So I think it's a range of solutions that can be pulled together, and a CHESLA scholarship is one piece of it, but there are other pieces of it that can be, you know, brought to bear to make sure that these students are able to attend these programs without a heavy burden on their own finances.
Can you be sure this is on our strategic planning agenda? We can have a more full discussion of this.
Sure.
Okay, Sandy, would you like to finish up?
I think this? Carrie has her hand raised. Peter, I don't know if you can see that.
I didn't see it. Carrie?
Oh, thanks, Jeanette. So I want to thank my colleagues for this robust conversation on what I consider to be a very important topic, non-credit certificate programs. I believe it's a strategic priority for the governor and the governor's workforce council. And, you know, I'm interested to understand how we can better serve this segment. I think, you know, Jeanette's points are well made that it's got to be many different parts of the higher ed funding pipeline. But I do think CHESLA can play an important role in this and being a leader. So I'm really excited that this could be added to our strategic planning conversation.
Agreed. Thank you, Carrie.
Here. So I'm just going to finish up our memo on page 23, please. Okay. So moving forward, so we did host an in-person award ceremony for these recipients on July 28, 2023 at the Yard Goats Club in Duncan Park in Hartford. The award ceremony was very well received as well. Namita Shah, a partner of Dave Pinney, was a keynote speaker at the ceremony, and everyone seemed to really enjoy her speech as well. And for the upcoming year, CHESLA will continue to use Foundit for our applications, and the certificate program scholarship will remain on first come, first served basis until funds run out. Additionally, we will open our applications for the undergraduate degree program on March 1st, and it will close on May 1st, as it does annually, and recipients will be notified in July. And for certificate programs, we will continue to open it on July 1st for enrollment, it'll be open until July of 2025 or until funds run out, which I'm sure they will early again. Now moving forward to the certification of our scholarship programs. So we have marketed the scholarship for certificate programs to financial aid directors, certificate program directors, state workforce boards, social media, and quarterly Cheslin newsletters. Monthly reminders to community colleges has also made a significant impact, and we will continue these efforts. And of the 500,000 that has been determined for our scholarship awards annually, the next page, please. We propose that 455,000 is earmarked for the degree granting program and 45,000 for the certificate program. As we spoke before, we believe the increase for certificate programs is prudent, as the certificate scholarship dollars went out the door very quickly. And just a quick overview again, for our degree granting programs, our scholarships are $1,500 for half-time students and $3,000 for full-time students. That will remain the same. And for certificate scholarships is $1,250. At a $45,000 allocation, that will result in 36 recipients. And we look forward to the continued success of the scholarship program. Do you have any questions, comments?
Theodore, should we have a resolution authorizing this change in the allocation?
Yes, Marty, you need to vote on the allocation.
Yeah, we do the new allocation.
Yes.
I'll move the proposed allocation.
All right. Thank you, Marty. Is there a second?
I'll second. This is Julie.
Thank you, Julie. Very nice presentation, Yesenia. Thank you. Are there further questions? The motion has been made and seconded to adopt the new funding allocation for the certificate program. Are there any further questions or discussion? Anything? All right. Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Is there anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you very much. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you again, Josh and Yesenia.
Thank you.
Anytime. Thank you.
Okay. Jeanette, an executive director's report, anything?
Yeah, just one kind of loose end I wanted to touch on. I think the last meeting where we passed a resolution, you know, this goes to the co-borrower release options, and we've had continual carve outs for different states who are changing the waiting period to be just 12 months as opposed to what we have, which is 5 years before the co-borrower could be released from the loan. And so we've had some further discussion about whether or not it's feasible for Chesla to reduce its 5 year period on the co-borrower release. And one of the things, just first of all, in terms of where we are currently, it's really just at the start of, since we instituted the program, the 5 years is really just coming up now. So in terms of demand for co-borrower release, thus far, we have not seen a lot of demand for co-borrower release as people are just now entering repayment. And so only a couple of borrowers have taken advantage of it to date. And we have not gotten any feedback from any borrowers or potential borrowers that they decided not to take it or apply for a Chesla loan because of the co-borrower release feature that we have. And then also we looked at the feasibility of, you know, if we were trying to do this retroactively, I think that would pose some issues because, first of all, we've sold bonds that are incorporating the feature as we currently have it. The existing promissory notes incorporate the feature as we currently have it. So it'd be a little bit difficult to say it's going to be retroactive, and to do it on a moving forward basis. It also could create some confusion for borrowers because then they'd have potentially, you know, a loan that they got in their freshman and sophomore year that was 5 years, but the one that they're getting in their junior and senior year has only a 12-month waiting period. So those are some of the things we've been weighing in terms of whether or not we should you know, make efforts to change our parameter. And so where we're kind of landing is we can keep the parameter where it is, and we can also continue to highlight, as Josh has been doing, that for parents who do want to come off of the loan sooner than 5 years, the loan can be refinanced into a Chesla refi loan that's just in the name of the student. So the impact is ultimately very similar, and we have some very competitive rates on our refi side. So that's where we've landed with that issue, which I think was raised previously. So just wanted to touch on that, and that's really it.
Thank you, Jeanette. Any questions for Jeanette on that? Anyone? All right, Jeanette, anything else? Thank you for that. Okay. Is there any other item of business anyone would like to bring forward to the board? Anything? Anything for the good of the cause? All right. Well, hearing none, just a reminder, the strategic planning retreat is scheduled for the 25th of this month, and our next board meeting will be in March on the 18th. And hopefully both of those are on your calendar. And just for the record, Laura Baker wasn't available for the roll call, but please have the minutes reflect that she joined the meeting at 11:40. So unless there's any other business to bring forward, I will look forward to seeing everyone at the strategic planning session on the 25th, and I would entertain a motion to adjourn. Anyone? I heard Andrew move it, and I heard Julie second it. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Abstentions? Thank you all very much. We are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.